Stand firm for the right. 1907. I have a knowledge of what Dr. Kellogg's temptations have been. He saw that his associate physicians had confidence in him, and that they would believe all that he might affirm, and he supposed that he could lead them where and how he pleased. Satan has been playing the game of life for his soul, and he has been managing matters without having the Lord to manage him. The Lord never designed that Dr. Kellogg should claim the credit of inventing the health foods. He gave light for the benefit of all his people, not in regard to the delicate substances that have been concocted, but in regard to the plain, simple, useful combinations. The manufacture of health food candies and other delicate articles have made Dr. Kellogg considerable expense. These candies should not be advertised as wholesome, for they create an appetite for sweets. The doctor has been investing money in a way in which he had no right to invest it. The rebuilding of the sanitarium was made much more expensive than Dr. Kellogg had any authority from his ministering brethren to make it. He has become financially involved, and his mind has worked in forbidden channels. He has connived at and planned for many things that were not honest. Plans have been carried out in false lines, and Satan has seen his opportunity to gain control of Dr. Kellogg's mind to serve his own ends. Dr. Kellogg has linked up with the great deceiver. He has not realized what he was doing any more than the angels who fell realized what they were doing, but he has tempted Satan to tempt him. He has studied hypnotism and spiritualism for the purpose of bringing minds to endorse sentiments that mean a denial of the faith once delivered to the saints. He has not entered upon this work all at once, but by degrees. He has ensnared his own mind and capabilities. He would now resort to any device rather than to humble his heart before God and to acknowledge his wrong. He has done many things that were dishonest, disloyal to the truth, and disloyal to God. He has been conniving, scheming, and working out sophistries, and yet God has pitied him and has sent straightforward messages to correct his wrong course of action. He has followed wrong practices for many years, yet the Lord has encouraged him to repent. He has taken a hard, accusing attitude toward our ministers, making them appear in the worst possible light before his associate physicians. In many ways, he has sold the truth to its enemies. For several years, he has not believed the truth as we hold it. He has been working out masterly sophistries, which he hoped would supplant the truth and cause his kingly power to prevail. He cannot save himself from being worked by the evil angels, and he has united with the great apostate to place hindrances in the way of God's ministers, so that they would have a hard time, except as they favored him. The instruction that the Lord has been giving to his people during the past years is now to appear. The facts are now to be presented before ministers and people, and especially before our physicians, in order that at this time of such great importance, these men, working in connection with Dr. Kellogg, shall not draw over their eyes the veil of error, as Dr. Kellogg has been doing. He has worked to make the testimonies of no effect, sowing seeds of doubt as to the validity of the messages that God has been giving his servant. He has tampered with these messages, treating them as unreliable. God would have these messages appear just as they have been given to the doctor for the past 20 years. He has always stated that he gave these testimonies to his associate physicians, but I have been given light that he did not do this, and I must present them just as they are, without misrepresentation or misstatement. The Lord has directed me no longer to wait for the repentance and conversion of Dr. Kellogg, but to try to save the souls of his associate physicians, before whom sophistries of the most subtle character have been kept to destroy faith in the Word of God. At the Berrien Springs meeting, Dr. Kellogg was given the privilege of laying hold of the hand of Christ. But the Savior's outstretched hand was refused. The meeting was spoiled by human ingenuity. The experience through which we passed during this meeting is the last experience that there will be of that order. The Lord God of heaven was dishonored, his mercy was despised and rejected, and his privileges abused. Every means is now to be employed to save Dr. Kellogg's associate physicians from infidelity, from sentiments that will bring in the omega of the statements contained in Living Temple. I am sorry that such blindness has come upon those whom the Lord has appointed to stand as guardians of the physical and spiritual health of His people. The theories contained in Living Temple are the alpha of a long train of heresies that the enemy framed to be brought in amongst us by the great and widely known Dr. Kellogg. The time has come for a call to be made to our physicians, no longer to link up with Dr. Kellogg, but to stand apart from his influence. God warns them not to incur the guilt that Dr. Kellogg is incurring by his course of sophistry. I had hoped that Dr. Kellogg would be converted, but every effort has been made that could be made, and he still feels bitterness of spirit if his course is checked in any way. He has no faith in the truth. In departing from the faith, he will lead many astray by falsehoods and misstatements. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Pray that the Holy Spirit may rebuke the deceiver and set the captives free. I call upon Dr. Paulson and Brother Sadler no longer to halt between two opinions. My brethren, the truth of the Word of God has been entrusted to our keeping. Will you allow yourselves to be influenced by a man who gives so little evidence that this truth is controlling his mind and heart? A man who has departed from the faith that he once believed to give heed to seducing spirits? Because of his high fame, evil angels have hoped to make of him a most successful worker in the ranks of the enemy. At this time, our people are to be pointed to him who dwells in light unapproachable. Our papers are not to be filled with the explanation of sophistries. We are not to waste words in an explanation of that which is nothingness. The grand, testing truths for this time, and their infinite magnitude, are to be brought before our churches in the power of the Spirit. On the Isle of Patmos, Christ revealed himself to John, enabling his servant to endure the seeing of things of eternal interest. No mortal being can endure the revelation of God. His presence has always been shrouded by a guard of angels. But to John was given the privilege of seeing Christ, not in the burning bush, but amidst the indescribable glory of the holy sanctuary. Never was there a grander meeting than the meeting between John and Christ on the Isle of Patmos. The wonderful vision was accompanied by the words, "Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Amos 4, verse 12. It was no sophistry, but the presence of the divine being who at the time of his ascension has taken into the heavenly courts a glorified humanity. He announced himself as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and he came to give John a message for the churches. The instruction given to John at this time is contained in the book of Revelation, and with this instruction, every medical missionary should be familiar. This book contains the message that we are to proclaim in these last days. We cannot study the book of Revelation too diligently. We cannot become too familiar with the instruction that it contains. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 1, verse 3.